This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 598 for property ID 25913-0005. This property is owned by Richard and Amy Chase. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Amy here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. And you'll get a written report from this board as the outcome of this hearing within 30 days, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So I'm going to ask you one question. Did you get the information from the assessor's office that they reduced the value to $800,000?
I have three different offers of a reduction in value, but yes, I do have that.
And you had asked for $750,000.
No, I'm asking for what my appraisal was. That I paid for. The assessor has made a mistake and had time to probably fix this before I hired an appraiser. I wouldn't have probably hired an appraiser if they'd have put this offer out now. But at this point, I'm out $600 due to...
Well, your appraisal says $885.
And, you know, I do understand mistakes happen, but...
Your appraisal says...
No, it doesn't. It says
$685,000.
Oh,
$685,000. Got it. Okay. So you have an appraisal, and they offered $800,000. Okay, got it. So you're looking for roughly $115,000 more off than they
offered. To have them meet the appraisal value, since I had to pay for the appraisal to try to prove that there was an error, and there was an error on their part. They said that in the paperwork.
Got it.
I understand that, but I'm looking at your application here where you're requesting a reduction of $750,000. I'm missing where we see your $680,000. I understand your appraisal, but is that, so you're requesting a different number than what you submitted, is that correct?
What I submitted was a last-ditch effort to hurry and meet the deadline because I'm separated from my husband. He lives in that house. He brought me the paperwork, and I saw the value, and it kind of surprised me. So I quickly tried to remedy it, and I just tried to do some numbers real fast from what it was last year to this year. That's where I came up with that figure. But it is by no means scientific. I just tried to crunch some numbers.
Just to get the application in on time. Yeah.
Yes.
And then you got the appraisal and you provided it. Yeah. I
did.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. No, you have every right to request a different one at this hearing. That's no problem.
I don't really have any other questions.
No, I'm fine with the fee appraisal.
Yep.
Yep. Also fine with it.
So can I clarify, are you saying you're fine with my appraisal for that 2024?
Well, we'll discuss it further, but it looks fine to us, but
okay.
Yeah.
Amy, if you wind up appealing next year, you can include a copy of that appraisal again, because everything we have will be archived. So if you have to appeal again next year, because the assessor's office may decide to do whatever they do, just include that and include our decision today.
Okay.
Yeah, your appraisal is actually as of 5/20/25, which is good for next year also.
Right.
I'm telling you, the assessor may argue the fact that this 685 is a full, you know, like, what, 18 months later? Not quite 18 months, 17 months later than the assessment date, but it's hard to visualize that the value would be higher than what than an assessment later, unless you've, you know, torn down some buildings or something like that.
No, nothing's changed. That building has no paved driveway, nothing, no garage, no outbuilding. But I do, I wanted to make a comment. I saw that when they did the comps, the Clark County did comps, they included one in Camas, two in Brush Prairie, and one in Woodland. Woodland's pretty close to me, and, but not Brush Prairie or Camas. And I'm kind of surprised that they used those comps, and in, they used comps from 2023, from the months May to November of 2023 for this comps that they sent me. So I don't think that's reflective either. I didn't understand that. I didn't know why they chose to do that, but that doesn't seem right to me that that's, they're going back to 2023.
Well, and if they're going 15 miles away, 19 miles away, and 12 miles away.
But honestly, Camas has a different tax like Richfield yes, does. So you see what I'm saying, and that's all I'll say about that. But I felt like the tax, the years of the sales were kind of questionable when I was asked to find some close to my tax assessment year. So just curious.
Most of their comps now come through a program called Comper, and they key in the statistical information on your property, you know, all the parameters of your property. And then that goes into that program, and it goes out and selects the properties that most closely resemble that, your property. And it takes all of Clark County, looks at all of Clark County, and doesn't adjust for that. And I doubt that they adjusted for it either, being in different parts of the county.
Okay, and then the only last thing I'd like to say is this process is, it's really been kind of difficult because it isn't easy to do a comp. I don't know, maybe you've done it, I don't know. I could not find any information to help me. A program would have been fabulous for me. I had to go to the library and spend a lot of time, and after doing that, realized it's way out of my scope of intelligence to do that accurately, and I would have floundered. I did have comps who were in La Center. But I feel like the county maybe should have, if they have access to that kind of technology, maybe the taxpayer should have some kind of access to help them do comps so they don't have to pay for an appraisal. That's another comment I would like to make.
That this whole process is skewed towards favoring the assessor's office by law, so We hear this regularly.
Unfortunately, yes, it does not favor the taxpayer. That's why the law was written that the assessor has the presumption of correctness, and the taxpayer has to go through all those hoops to prove him wrong.
Well, I applaud them for recognizing the error, at least. I guess that could have been not recognized, so that's at least something. But yeah, I will be working towards trying to do some repairs to the system. I feel like it's not okay, and I've already started some processes to maybe there should be more checks and balances so this taxpayer doesn't have to be at the mercy. But I do appreciate that they did catch the error. I just wish they would have caught it before my appraisal, because then I probably wouldn't have gotten to this point.
Well, you can always contact your legislators. That's where the...
I have.
Oh, good.
And I'm more... meet with them, but they wanted to meet after this is, you know, figured out. So just for other people, because it is challenging, and I don't have a lot of free time. As you can hear, I'm sorry, I have children in the background today. They're having a great time. They were told to be quiet, but they're not. Sorry.
We're all done. We don't have any more questions, so.
Okay, I appreciate your time, and yes, I do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Shall I just sign off? Is that it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
All right. This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 601 for property ID 17596200. The property is owned by Mengfei Chen. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Meng Fei here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in. So just right hand.
Oh. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing? Keep your hand up.
Oh.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes. Everything I say will be the truth.
Thanks. Okay, you can put your hand down.
Okay.
We're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal. So it's up to you now. Tell us whatever you want to.
For the property tax, this year, 2024, this year, it's quite a little bit higher than usual. So that's my concern, because more high property tax is higher than usual. So I would like to request roll back to 2024 for the property tax. And the reason
I was just going to ask Allison if she could tell us what last year's value was.
The asset value, that's the value is the number is 447 and that's 525.
That's last year's value?
My last what?
Last year's value was 447,535.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And the new one is 532,068.
You mean the this year or last year?
Well, for 23, it was 447,535. And then for 24, it's 532,068. And then it looks like they've dropped it back down.
Let me check the value. So for the current year, it's 532,068, but 2020, more like a previous 2 weeks ago, it should be the number you just told is 535. I have no idea.
The value for 23, and you're appealing. He has assessment year 2025 for tax year 2025. So should that be 2024 or 2025 on his?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because it's a request for reconvene. He's appealing the 2024 assessment for 2025 taxes.
Okay, and that's the one where they raised it up to 532,068.
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, according to what the screen showed, the value the county put on it for 24 was 532,068.
I would like to request lower because I think you may be at the wrong property value. So as the same. In the Camas area around this my neighborhood. So there's the sell the price is quite low. It's around the 400,000 around this area. But I think you like estimate a high value than for my house.
Okay.
Is this, can I share something on my computer? Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes, you're welcome to, you are welcome to share your screen if you want.
Okay. So you can see my screen?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. So I soon. So I mean, in last year until now, my property is around 1,030 square feet. This around my house. I mean, from the this last year, from the April to end of December and until recent day, so my the house is around the same square feet. They sell the prices is quite around this number. And this number is quite match my house.
These are all sale prices.
Yes. Those are sale prices in the recent days, and my house area is around the same number. I mean. For them, the sale price is quite low. That means the process test should be equals low. But I want to express myself is this year I have paid property test than last year. So that's why I don't think it's reasonable. That's why I email.
Sure. Everyone, and have the hearing
for today. So I'm thinking, any possible to lower the as a property, within this year.
I think I have enough information to make a decision.
Yeah, let me just tell you. If you appeal this again next year, you should complete the entire form, and and Allison or her assistant can walk you through that to appeal that. And you got to get that in fairly soon, because you have until August. What is it, August 1st? August 4th?
Yep, August 4th.
Yeah, to appeal for the next year. So if you call them, they can walk you through how to get fill out the form and get it done. Because you don't have the actual appeal form here that tells you all the details of what you need to do for next year. Okay?
I mean...
You have enough for your appeal today. Dan's saying for next year... There's a different form for you to fill out, and Allison can help walk you through that. But you're okay for your appeal that you have today.
No, I mean, for the next year, it's okay. I would like to. So, I mean, for this year, the tax property tax, I still need to pay with the the number on the email you on the mail you email me?
Yes, you have to pay. You have to pay the taxes this year, and if we lower it, then they will send. They will do an adjustment and send you a refund, or else reduce your next payment.
Oh, okay, okay, got you. Okay, thank you. So, sounds like apparently I'm just waiting for your conclusion, and after that you will mail me the adjustment, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think we have enough information, so yep. Well, you'll hear from us within 30 days. Okay?
Close the hearing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, okay, thank you. Thank you.
This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 232 for property ID 35771418. The property is owned by David and Karen Newdston. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have David here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
It's raised.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing to be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I don't. So the very first thing in the information that I've sent, which is 72 pages, same thing I'm going to send every year, because every year I'm obviously going to be appealing here, because before we start, just so we're all up to speed, though I don't know how to share a screen, this property that we're talking about, of course, that is along the Columbia River, and there's the freeway, there's the railroad tracks, and this development is a combination of true on the water properties, a long, relatively skinny mid-rise building that's about five stories high, and if there were ever a piece of property that in a very short distance, you don't have this, I'm just throwing this in because we're going to walk, I'm going to take you through a tour of this property, which what all these pages are about. If there ever was a place where in a very few feet, prices radically change, this is the property. Why? View affects value, noise affects value, the trains affect value, the freeway affects value, the waterfront affects value, and it's all in a very short distance. Therefore, the system that the appraiser has been using, the automatic value system, is a completely fallacious joke for appraising these properties. The people with the expensive properties are routinely undervalued. Now the people with the least expensive properties in real life are routinely overvalued. So I've included the very first page one and two is just some information that's readily available about the automatic value marketing system that the appraiser relies upon. I point to your attention in the second page. I'm just gonna read something. Since this is all based upon listing information of an industry, which is notoriously loose with facts. Any listing is only as accurate as the agent completing the listing from a form for her local multiple listing service. An error in the property description, for instance, mislabeling a fireplace a gas fireplace when it's wood burning, accidentally counting a closet, free room as a bedroom, can touch off a cascade of misinformation and errors that affects automatic valuations. And then down below, very famous one, second last paragraph, give an example from a sale in Ocean City, Maryland. Person was selling a condo. This was during the time where someone was making decisions about what's the property really worth. Dealing with a short sale lender. Short sale lender determined the value of the seller's Ocean View unit was $80,000 higher than the buyer's offer. The lender only used direct Ocean View comparable units within the condo building. The AVM did not use Ocean View comparables and did not correctly evaluate the impact of the condo within the building as to the value. Direct oceanfront condos were selling around 380, whereas the Ocean View ones were selling, or the non-Ocean View, whereas Ocean View units were selling for 300,000. Yeah, direct Ocean View versus non-Ocean View. Has nothing to do with this, but it's a concept. The concept is we have moved from a taxation system that was based upon true and fair value written into the law, and now everybody just thinks it's perfectly okay to ignore it, let a politically driven system go against the will of the people to keep spending in line. All right, next page, page 3 as you go up. What have we done? We're walking along the very expensive property. There are now sales recently way above $1 million, $1.3 million. That was page 3. Page 4, we've gone to the top of the big, long, skinny mid-rise building. These are the most expensive views on floor 3 and floor 4. Page 5, the quality of the view even on that side can be better or can be worse. Why? Because part of the view is blocked by the roofs of the true Ocean View condos. 5, simply any of us can walk to that beach, but then again, anybody can, because in order for this to be built, there had to be a big concrete walking trail put through on the condo property so the public could also walk through it. When you get to page 6, there will be quality of view differences simply by, are you on the west side or are you on the east side? At the top of page 6, that is actually the quality of the view from a third floor unit. Versus if we're now looking towards the waterfront, it's locked. I'm going to talk about over and over again the difference in value of properties within inside the mid-rise building, laughably called the towers, where my condo is. And I'm going to reference over and over. Yeah, but it's facing the wrong way. Value, if it's facing the view you see here, and the barrier between the sun in the afternoon and facing the other way. I'm now walking along that. That is, somebody had a lot of political pull. That's the supposed handicap access for this unit, built long after the 1989 Handicap Act was intact. I have yet to decide whether I'm leaving this place peacefully or scorched earth policy, but I know for a fact the updated AD laws require people to conform things if they have assets to actually follow the ADA rules, which would be a rise of a certain feet, resting period, and then rise again. I now turned around and I'm heading towards the pool along that same green front barrier area, the more expensive properties in the mid-rise building that my unit's in. Now I'm walking into the pool area. I've walked through the pool area, and now I'm on the exact opposite side of where mine units are located. These are the areas where there are square footage similarities, and give or take 20 or 30 square feet, the exact same floor plan, but completely different in value based upon prevailing shade in the afternoon, distance from the railroad tracks, distance from the freeways, distance from our friends without homes who routinely can walk 10 feet to walk onto the property. That's now a picture of that side. In the afternoon, it's completely shaded. There is no issues of prevailing sun. I've now walked to the right-hand side of the picture of page 12. I'm heading on to page 13. And on 13, I'm walking along that same side, which is the now heading on one side towards Seattle and heading towards Fisher's Landing. That would be east, so that is, I'm on the northeast side. Condos have always, and they continue to sell for more on that side, especially the corner ones. 14, a typical view from the fourth floor heading towards Seattle. 15, a typical view from the third floor heading towards Seattle. But we're talking about the third floor on the east side that has the biggest barrier between the freeway and between the railroad track. 16, moving down from that same view, the distance between where these north side units truly are, room for parking, room for garages. Continuing to move along to 17, we've gone past the middle of the unit, and now we're heading into the area which I've always been the least valuable. Why? The barrier between the street, the freeway, and the train is gone. There's no room for extra garages. There's literally just a room for a fire truck to go through. And the public sidewalk is literally on the right-hand side of the hedge you're looking at, with no fence. 18, one of my friends without homes, doing what they routinely do, rummage through what they can, looking for anything that you can sell. On 18, my unit is literally located. You'll see a set of stairs there to the left in the middle, and to the right of those middle stairs, there is a tree. There are four condos, identical in square footage, that are between the first floor and three condos identical, first floor and the third floor, and the fourth floor has the same square footage on the first floor, but another 400 square feet up, which is called the penthouse, and of course has the best views. However, we now would give you a real life example of significant difference in life issues. And because the people who have the most expensive properties long ago took care of security, they control what happens. It is what it is. 19, we're now looking at the corner of my own unit, not even in the worst of the afternoon sun, but basically at about 12 noon. Mine would be, if we're in the middle of the picture, the very bottom set of windows. Part of my unit has sun on it. Part of my unit has shade on it. The place where my friends without homes was in the middle, towards the left. I'm literally on the public sidewalk taking this picture. 20, I've now moved past the public sidewalk over to where there are garages because there was some space to shove them in, and I'm looking towards my unit. The real life issue of value for every single property on this side, even the ones with views, is the sun. And that is just simply, if you look closely at those windows, this is about 1:30 in the afternoon. This is not a terrible Sunday. This is just normal. Look close. All the blinds are shut. Therefore, some of them have views, but their views only do them good at nighttime and early in the morning. 21, close-up of the exact same shot. Mine is the bottom left unit that has basically like a little roller shade that my wife invented to even reduce the amount of sun coming in there, so the air conditioner works correctly. 22, standing in my unit, looking at the garages towards the I-5 bridge. However, I'm now as far as I possibly can be from the train. 23, I'm now as close as I possibly can be from the train, standing in my unit. Therefore, my unit and all the ones that are as close as you possibly can be to the train has the most train noise. That's page 23. Page 24. Well, yeah, those trees might look like it's a greenbelt lot, but not really, because when you get to page 25, there's where 116 says, that's exactly where the gentleman looking for cans in the trash was. Again, I'm not opposed to him looking at them. I actually try to be friendly, but it affects price, it affects value. 26, now I'm still on my own corner. I'm still in the exact same floor plan, but I've gone up two floors. That is a view from that person's property. Affects price, affects value. 27, I'm also on their porch looking at their view. And now I'm looking down from their view slightly. Okay, I said all that to say, by definition, if you're looking for a cookie cutter, five lines of information, it does not work here, which is why over and over and over you rule against me. You don't really care, I don't think. I assume you all have your position because of political party interests, but this is your guys' last chance. After this, I'm implementing bye-bye scorched earth policy, and it ain't going to be fun because there's going to be lots of police coming because I'm an owner of that property,
And I still have relationship. I have a 1/131st interest in this property. And I still have a relationship with many of the people that I call my friends without homes. Well, it'll be interesting to see when I decide I'm inviting them all onto the property for a pool day, what the reaction is going to be. Because I'm sick of this. So I already know I'm going to the state because you are going to rule against me. But now let's walk through values. Page 29. This is a sale. 8 p.m. I'm reading it in the record. 357-1428. While it says in big fat letters up at the top, it sold in 2022, which it did, it actually sells again in 2023, as I remember right. And hopefully, there's some inside pictures of it on page 30. There's your little lines on page 31. But by the time you get to 32, there is the accurate information that it closes on 2/1/2023 for $290,000. However, it faces the Greenbelt side, and it is not a whole lot of square footage. It is 700 and something, as I remember, right? What's this have to do with my property? Nothing. And if it's included as a comp to my property, then it's laughable. 350, now I'm up to page 33. Reading into the record, APN 357-1366. While these pictures come from an old listing, because it ends up selling for sale by owner, the inside pictures are correct for 329. This is an example of a sale on the exact opposite side of my unit on the first, on the third floor. When you look at page 33 from the old listing, you can see they're showing their waterfront view. Under the captions, it say balcony, southwest facing. On page 34, it shows you the river view from their unit. That is then a sale on the information in your little fine line. Sells in 2021. But then, sells again on 2/1/2023, $625,000. Now, here's the little dirty secret that's been going on in this community for years. There's 23 garages. Did the sale include a garage or didn't include a garage? Well, in the evidence last year, I showed over and over, and it went to the state level, that the association refuses to give me the information when they include a garage or don't include a garage. Why? Because a very small handful of people have been controlling their sales for years, when it's supposed to be a common element that people can pay a higher fee for. My personal observation is it did include a garage, since I can see the person going in and out of their garage from my unit that it included. How much was it? I don't know. How much do we adjust for? I don't know. Neither does the assessor. Page 36. Page 37. Now I'm on the fourth floor. And this is a sale, which is sells accurately for $610,000 with the best view ever, APN, reading into the record, 357-1390. You can see the pictures that were promoted in the last listing for the property. You can see the printout and all the times they try to get a higher amount of money. Over a two-year period, at one time, asking $750. And this property is on the 426. That means it is the property that is three floors directly above mine with a penthouse view. It is lunacy to say that my property, bought intentionally because it was the very worst condo of the worst value to begin with, is affected by this sale, and that my property somehow went up. In this same year, we've now gone to the other side of the towers. This is the best view. This is the most desirable sale. Starting on page 41 of an expired listing at $799, showing the views. Page 43 showing the activity on the expired listing when they couldn't get what they wanted. The actual sale for sale by owner was already sold behind the scenes, word of mouth. $850,000, P2423. Basically, my floor plan with a penthouse view above it, where you go up into it. What's this have to do with my condo? Nothing. Other than it's what's always happening here. The view's worth money. The appraiser refuses to put a number on it because he knows it's ambiguous. He'd rather just jumble it all together. Page 45, APN 357-71304. This is an old listing because it sells in 223 for $350,000 for sale by owner. It's on the first floor, very close to the location of mine, but it's looking the wrong way. It's 1,055 square feet. It's looking towards the green belt. It's shaded from the sun. And that's out of order, but that's okay. I made a mistake. Now we're up to 47, which shows that same one, which is an old sale with the most recent sale, $350,000 on 8/29/23. This is page 48. Reading into the record, APN 357-71304. It's lunacy to say that this property affects the value of my property. I don't have a green belt. I don't have shade. I don't have a barrier from the public. I'm on the wrong side. Now this will be fun. We're now on the wrong side. We're on the fourth floor and we're facing Seattle. a real sale for $350,000. That's 1,360 square feet. So why then is my property assessed so high? Because the assessor knows he can, and you guys let him get away with it, and you don't hold him in check as you're supposed to. A, read it into the record, APN 71490. There are some pictures. Other pictures inside. You will see on page 51 the times it's been sold in the past. Fair and open market. Has a couple sales. It fails. Actually closes on 4/4/23. 1,360 square feet. Fourth floor. Has a territorial view. What makes my property worth its assessment? It isn't. Page 52. Again, another source. Accurate sale. $350,000. Fair and open market. Nobody had to buy it. Nobody had to sell it. Nobody manipulated the prices. Next sale, reading into the record, APN 357-1362. Now, this is an interesting sale because it sells twice in the same year. It's on the exact opposite side of the big building I live in. It's on the shade side. It's on the side that's away from the street, away from the noise, sheltered from the noise. But you'll see, and it's on the third floor. There's pictures from one of the listings, page 55, shows from their balcony what they see. Shows the barrier of space where it says view north facing. And sells for $435,000. Well, I wonder if the assessor just said, well, if this one sold for $435,000, then the other one's got to be worth what he assessed it. Crap. Next one, reading into the record, APN 357-1362. And this one, I actually misspoke, saying the previous one had sold twice. It's actually this one that sells twice. It's also in that same location. And it is on a second sale on 7/8/23 for $435,000. But it did sell for $400,000 on 3/1/23. I guess it must be a really desirable property. Now we're moving on to page 59. The last time I was before you, I explained to you, I bought a piece of property which had been illegally remodeled in an association where they had been acting as if only they had to give people permission to remodel things for years. The powers that be here all have changed their properties. The assessor is not aware of it. Illegally, not pulling permit. Nobody gives a shit. And under the scorched earth policy, this is going to be made public. I'm going to name names, and this is going to get fun, and this is going to get dirty. And since your board is political, I'm being political right now. What am I looking at? This is the permits for me pulling the permits to change everything illegally done to my property. Why? I have assets. I have money that can be gone after. I will not just pass on to the next person the illegal thing that was passed on to me. Permits pulled in late 2022, all through 2023, my property's torn up. All we're doing is putting it back to its original state. By the end of 2022, some of them are closed, but not all of them get closed until 2023. Now, the assessor has made, in his supposed adjustments, such a huge comparison between the inside of my property. Page 61, cabinets before we had to fix everything, cabinets after I had to fix everything. Why? Walls full of mold from unmitigated water damage. The cabinets that you're looking at were meant to look pretty, but they are the least expensive fine cabinets money can buy. Painted versus the ones that were above. Did it add value to my property?
No.
Because it's not what you pay for something, it's what you can sell it for. Principle of real estate, tried and true. Page 62. Picture above, one of my decks then. My same deck now. This is the extreme sun facing deck. This is all the portable things that my wife has created. They're not attached. They don't add any value. But my wife is a professional interior designer, and she's very good at taking a pig and making it look better. Page 63. The room before we had to fix stuff, the room after fixing stuff. It's a bedroom, it's my office. Is there really any change? Some shutters. Didn't really add any value. Page 64. The top picture of the bathroom before I had to completely tear it apart and redo it. Same bathroom afterwards. Had a fiberglass tub shower before, has a fiberglass tub shower after, except I didn't put back the glass doors. Cheapest pine cabinet money can buy in the bottom picture. Page 65. Top picture of the cabinet mirror before, bottom picture of the cabinet mirror after. Page 66. I'm now in what most people would call the master bedroom. Top picture, the room before, below, after. Oh, what I haven't mentioned is, and this you'll see it clearly, notice how you see a hardwood floor in the top picture? Well, all that hardwood floor was not only improperly installed, so it went clickety-clack as you walked on it, but it was actually done without the permission of the HOA. What's in it now? The least expensive LVT that money can buy, the same LVT I put in my rentals. Page 67. The top of our side deck before, the bottom of our side deck after. Any value added?
No.
Nothing's permanent. Page 68. Top view before, bottom view after. Page 68 shows you the floor that transitioned into tile. That was crazy. Using a kitchen cabinet, which is the wrong height for a bathroom, to 68, the same. What's the cheapest cabinet money can buy? Let's make it legal. Let's make it within code. Page 69, top picture focus on what the assessor thinks is such a so valuable property with the cheapest glass block held together with glue that money can buy and a kitchen cabinet of the wrong height versus 69 after we're done. 70, the closet before and the closet after. Everything you see on the bottom is not permanent. It'll all be gone by the time I put this house up for sale next year. Because one way or the other, scorched earth is coming. I'm either going peacefully or it's going to get fun. And I just don't care anymore. 71. The totally illegal came with a fiberglass tub, never inspected, top view that the assessor thinks is worth so much money. No, it's not. Showers are supposed to go into 2-inch drains. Tub showers can go into 1.5-inch drains. Well, there's 12 inches of concrete between the bottom of my unit and a parking structure. Since they did it completely bootleg under the table illegally, they certainly couldn't get permission to drill a hole, nor jump through the money to bring in the radar thing to see where the rebar was. So they raised the height, put down gravel, put down some mortar, put down the little rock things, and they called it good.
David, you're way over your time.
Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you, Daniel.
I'm going to ask you to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think at this point I've wrapped it up. Sustain. For me, I have given you an accurate assessment of the value of my property in 2023 to show you the corrupt system you guys are propping up. At the first of the year, I went to the state level for the previous year. 2 days before, oh, we have to reschedule. No, I can't reschedule. This is impossible. The person who shows up to does it is one of the top state persons himself. My first question out of my mouth is, have you read this information or listened to anything? No, I actually haven't. Of course, the assessor is there. The assessor is on a conference call the entire time, never responds except when I get to the most telling problem, which is the closed sale of $350,000 of the fourth floor unit. Maybe my unit is worth at the same time. Now, if I sold it at the same time, it wouldn't have been because my unit was all torn up still. Absolute lunacy. This system is hypocrisy. None of you are elected. No one can get rid of you. The public needs to know. I wrapped it up. Do what you must. I do appreciate your time, even though I was actually wearing my Jesus shirt, so I wouldn't get too stressed and pissed off. I do apologize for being pissed. You guys, of course, are following the rules. I think the rules are extremely biased and unfair. And I see hope in the younger generation that a lot of them wised up and realize that it's extremely unwise to keep the Democratic Party in power. It's against their financial interest. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll
hear from us within 30 days.
I understood.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Once we'll figure out.
This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us, we'll be reviewing one late file that was submitted for the 2024 assessment year for taxes in 2025. It is a request for reconvene for property ID. Oh, sorry. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. The request for reconvene before us is for property ID 155759000. It is a request for reconvene submitted by Clint Nelson. He used reconvening code, and let me share my screen, which is an option here. He used reconvening code 4, which states the taxpayer or the assessor requests that the board reconvene to hear an appeal with respect to property or value that was omitted from the assessment rolls. No request shall be accepted for any period more than 3 years preceding the year in which the omission was discovered, but he did not provide any information about that omission.
So the omission was that the county didn't send out anything? What was the omission? Maybe I spaced out.
He's stating he was omitted from the assessment rolls, but or that is the reason he chose, but I do not see that that is the case, and I will pull it up on Property Information Center to verify, but he gave no justification or explanation.
So he didn't mean like I didn't get my notice or anything like that. He just didn't.
Yes, his reason he provided says he was not assessed at all in 2024, but I do have that he was.
So what does that mean?
I just asked that question, Dan.
I mean, he's using the reason that states that somehow the assessor's office did not assess him at all. Is his reason for his late file. But again, he didn't provide any information, so that's all I can assume based on the small thing he gave us here.
Was a notice of value sent out?
Yes. So I have for the 2024 assessment, he received a notice of value on June 6th.
I wondered if it was one of those because the value didn't change. They didn't bother to send out a notice.
I mean, they did. This is the notice they sent out. I just think, I don't know what I think. He didn't provide a justification.
Oh wow, it went up a whole bunch. It's funny, when you showed the other thing, I thought it looked like no change. Property information.
Oh.
$1.5 million to $1.5 million.
It would have been the 2023 to 2024. Yeah. This is the late file for 2024.
Okay.
I don't think you qualifies.
Yeah.
I see no reason. I mean, he was assessed. I mean, that code section doesn't apply to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too.
I'd say they, when you write back to them, just say that no reasoning was submitted for that justification, and the records indicate that a notice of value was mailed, and it was valued for the proper current year.
All right.
Well, reconvening code 4 on his request. What's code 4?
Code 4 states that the property was omitted from the assessment rolls, as if the property had not been assessed at all. But according to the Property Information Center, he was assessed and did receive a notice of value.
Yeah, that doesn't sound valid.
All right. I will write our response. Thank you for the input, Dan. And that concludes our late files for today.
Close that hearing.
This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 599 for property ID 20668528. The property is owned by Joseph Lum. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Joseph here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you can raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Okay, I'm raising my right hand.
Perfect.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I swear the truth, but there's no Bible. my hand is up, but...
That's fine.
Okay.
You can put your hand down, though.
Oh, okay, sure.
We're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay. Is the assessor here too? Is the assessor?
Huh? No, they.
Oh, okay.
No presentation from the assessor.
So it's sort of like a police officer is assumed to be telling to be correct and you're wrong, and so the burden of proof is on me, I guess, huh?
That's it. That's the way the law is written, unfortunately.
Okay.
I see that you have a fee appraisal as of. What was the date on it?
February 8, 2024, shortly after January 1st.
Yeah, and that's the value you requested on your appeal? Is that still what you were requesting?
You just said less than $1 million. Have you done these repairs, the roof for $43,000 and the painting for $16,300?
No, I have not. Money's an issue. Money's very tight in... trying to being stretched across two places and the economy. So
those issues were known at the time of the appraisal, though.
No, I did not. The appraiser did not know anything about the suicide and this and that. I think they just simply chugged on and did their thing. In fact, I wasn't quite sure about all this stuff because this is the first time I've had to apply for a mortgage and go through this whole complicated process of getting a huge stack of documents. That's even worse than buying a car. And so I was letting my real estate agent and other people take care of all that stuff. So they appraised it without any kind of knowledge, I guess, without any knowledge, just being told to go out there and make the appraisal so that a mortgage could be made.
Okay, so
you paid the $1,225,000 on 3/8, and when did you find out about the roof and all that stuff?
Afterwards, just kind of like taking a look at the roof and saying, oh, there's some wavy indentations or things like that. And then my handyman going up in the attic and saying, oh, you know what, there's some water damage here. I mean, nothing's like pouring on my head or anything like that, but it requires a roof replacement. And so that's what I'm actually getting an estimate on. I have a prior estimate from last year. Let's see now if I take a look at it. So I provided that.
Is that the $43,000?
Right, right.
Your estimate? Okay, can I ask a question? On your petition, the value you're asking for is less than $1,225,000. But you don't give an exact amount. Are you wanting less than $1,225,000 being taken off the bid for the roof and the painting?
Yes, if that's possible.
Because you supplied those two bids.
Yeah, I supplied them, and actually, even the painter, I think that, you know, if I look at the document for the interior painting, excuse me, I'm looking at Clearview Painting, interior, is that? The exterior comes out to about $50,000. They just told me that, and they sent me an email that, oh, but I guess I realize I'm not supposed to present this new evidence. I'm sorry. It all came very quickly, so.
So I just was trying to be clear on what exactly the amount is that you're asking for.
Well, I think the amount that I'm asking for is certainly less than what I was assessed at. And to me, I bought the house at $1,225,000. So as a layperson, I'm scratching my head. How come my assessment wasn't that?
Yeah.
At the very most. And then I'm thinking, gee, at the very most, it should be that, but it should be less because I have to do all these repairs to it.
So yeah. We want you to give us the number you want rather than just saying less than, or let us guess about it. We ask you to give us the number that you want.
Did you have a review done of the property before you bought it?
No. A review done of the property? Like an inspection?
Yes.
Yes, I had an inspection. I can't remember the date of it. I'm sure it was before I bought it, right? Everyone wants to have an inspection before they buy it, right?
Well, many times the lender will require it.
Yes, yes, I'm sure I had that.
And was anything said about the roof?
You know, when I think about it, it seemed to me it was always like, oh, you got to replace this, you got to replace that. It's like they're basically saying things are wrong because they wanted to cover themselves, that kind of thing. And, but it wasn't like I was going to walk away from the house. So that was the case. You know what, if you give me a moment, I could look up on my email. I think there were pictures that were taken of the roof. And, you know, basically, I think I generally had the impression, okay, this is a doable transaction. I mean, if it wasn't doable, I wouldn't have gotten the house. So even the fact that the house owner apparently killed himself, and, you know, I see, let me tell you, there are signs of neglect in the house. There's cabinets that seem to be inexplicably scratched up in very strange ways, like and then dents in the walls and dents in the garage door entrance. And so I heard that this guy had a whole bunch of fishing poles in his garage, and I'm assuming that maybe he just gave up and rather decide instead of fixing up the house, he'd rather go fishing, I guess, because this house is a big house. And so I don't know, you know, I feel very sorry for the family and how it happened, but he did kill himself in the house. And in fact, there's some strange looking reddish type stains that I've tried to get off the TSP, but not quite. So that's one of the reasons why, this house is not exactly your usual run of the mill house.
I don't have any other questions.
Did the appraiser have access to this inspection report?
You know, I don't know. I really don't know because I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I know that his appraisal report has comparisons. You know, I guess looking at the report, which is filled with all sorts of data, but the one data that I focused in on was the indicated value of 1.225, which is what I purchased it for.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? It says right here, it says February 10, 2024. Oh, so I purchased it on February 8th, right? So that means that this was done 2 days after, right?
No, no, you purchased it on 3/8, according to the...
Oh, 3/8, sorry, things are... Sorry about that. But yeah, okay, it's purchased then, right. Well, anyway, that's what it is.
All right.
Okay.
We have it. Thank you.
Oh, do you guys render a decision on me?
We will after we discuss it amongst ourselves, and you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time and consideration for assessing this thing here.
Got it.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 466 for property ID 986004016. This property is considered personal property. The property is owned by the Neil Jones Food Company. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The appellant's evidence included a schedule of the investment in machinery and equipment, mobile equipment, small tools, furniture, buildings, structures, land improvements, laboratory equipment, pollution control, non-attached personal property, material supplies, and leased furnishings. Since no one is present for either party, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 594 for property ID 252-66-3000. The property is owned by Swanson Delton and Swanson Sharon Trustee, 1/3 interest. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Patrick Files here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Well, first of all, I'm still having trouble hearing. So then I'll get started because I'm going to talk first and then we'll go. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. Most everything that I'm going to talk about here has been sent to you in previous information. But what I want to try to do is make sure that we're clear on what we're trying to get across on this piece of property. So with your approval, I'll just start reading off of what the three owners have approved. Is that okay?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, let's get started on the structures. In 2024, the structures on this property were given a value of $65,090. We recently received the 2025 assessment value of $80,034. Then on 6/12 of this year, we received from the assessor a recommended value of $42,932. We do not have the current information card. First of all, we didn't know such a thing existed until 6/12 here. That would tell us if the new recommended value is including the old dilapidated woodshed at the value of $12,600. Now, if you subtract the $12,600 for the old woodshed, you get a value of from the $42,932 recommended value, you have a $30,300 value, which is for the value of the newer building, which is much closer to our estimate of value of $25,000. It appears the assessor is flailing around with a number that will stick because they don't know what to do with an outbuilding that is not built to codes and was never intended to be on the tax roll. In 2017, planning advised me that this outbuilding would not be taxed, and it was not until 2023. When it showed up, I called to see why and was brushed off with, there was a rule change. By the end of this session today, I hope you can explain to me how the rules got changed from year to year and without any grandfather clauses. Okay, now we'll move on to the land value, if that's okay.
May I just answer that question real quickly? We do not know what rules changed that made their value that way. If they didn't explain it, then we have no knowledge of what that rule change has been.
So have they explained it to you or me in their determination?
No.
So how do you go for that explanation?
We just have to assume whatever they do is presumed correct, and you have to prove them wrong. So this is the opposite of, you know, innocent till proven guilty. This is guilty until proven innocent.
Oh boy, all right, here we go. That leaves us in a very odd position. I hope you understand it. This may all go away when I go through the land anyway. Okay,
go ahead.
On the land values on the information card that we now see, he indicates that this property in question here has road access. Now, you would think due diligence would be to assure the road he drove in on was public, which it is not. The three roads he had to drive on are Dogwood, Cottonwood, and Cedarwood. All are owned by the lot owners of Lewis River Camp Subdivision and are listed on the County Info Service page on the situs address, which states at least the lot number, such as Lot 8, which is the one I own, and also 1/16th interest in PPS A, C, D, and E. The A, C, D, and E describes the roads, and Lot A, which is the parcel to the east of our parcel, which, by the way, a common sense assessor has a value of zero on that due to the steep hill and road embankment of Days Road. The three roads are for the exclusive use of the lot owners. The only public access is from Hayes Road if you can rappel down the steep near cliff below the guardrail. Okay, moving on, his response to you on 6/12 that he sent to you indicates the slope of 15%, which it is much steeper than 15, is located on the southeast corner of the property. I guess he did not check the balance of the complete south border. Now, in stuff I sent you, I have an exhibit of photos. And if you refer to exhibit A that I sent you, that was taken at the southeast corner of the property. And the property, the left of the line drawn in there, is the adjoining property valued at zero. At the top of the slope, you can barely see on the poor photo, is the guardrail on Hayes Road. Okay? Now, if you move on to exhibits B and C, this is moving west along the property, and you can plainly see the guardrail and the steepness of the slope. The guardrail and the slope continue all the way to Dogwood, the private entrance road. It is very difficult to walk along the base of the slope as you encounter the swamp created by the county culvert. And I believe, which goes on here, okay, which is on most of the western half of the property, made it totally unusable. Now there's some other exhibits there, and I'd have to look back. I think it's on exhibit D and E, where pictures of two small streams from that culvert, at least two, they're scattered throughout this swamp, run through that property most of the year. Okay? None of these conditions are considered in his valuation of the land. He doesn't consider the slope, he doesn't consider the swamp, and he doesn't consider that the property is landlocked.
Did he ever wind up coming out to view the property?
I'm sorry, ma'am, I couldn't understand it.
Did he ever come out to view the property?
He never did recently, because when we started this process, he had sent out, and I sent you copies of those emails that
right.
You look in that packet, where he wanted to make an appointment to come out and inspect the interior of the building. And I responded to him that because setting up appointments, I needed to do it fairly soon because of some other stuff going on. And I sent him that I wanted him to come out and inspect it and inspect the entire property. Right. I never heard another word from the assessor's office until 6/12.
The swamp that you're talking about on exhibits D and E, is that your property?
I'm sorry?
The exhibits D and E, is that your property that has that swamp on it?
The areas of D and E are taken on this property that we're talking about right here.
Okay.
Below the slope, down below the slope, where the culvert discharge is flowing throughout the property.
Got it. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, all right. Okay, on his info card, and this card for the 2025 assessment, which is just happening, as we have no copy of the one for 2024, so we don't know what he had for 2024. He assigns a one acre parcel as a home site at a value of $53,857. Then he multiplies the 4.2 acres at nearly the same unit value as the home site value for a total of for that 4.2 acres of $219,428, for a total of $273,285. Common sense would tell you that is a lot of value for a piece of property with no access, 1 3/8 acres of steep slope, and 1 5/8 acres of swampland. As we have indicated earlier, the balance of 2 1/8 acres has some value to an owner of one of the lots in the subdivision for gardening and light agriculture. If you use the assessor's unit value for the 4.2 acres and multiply that times the 2 1/8 usable land, your value would be around $115,000, much closer to the $140,000 of our estimate. Now, we are aware that we are supposed to come up with comparisons of like property. However, we have been unable to come up with any 5-acre parcel in the entire region that has no access, large percentage of steep and swamp areas that have sold or not sold. We would hope the assessor's office has provided one to compare with. The three owners of this property are not trying to say the property is worthless. It has value to us as owners of lots in Lewis River Camps. The property is not as the assessor presents and has extremely limited marketability. And we hope that common sense will prevail in your judgment. Thank you.
The property that you have the information sheet on in your appeal that has no value assigned to it, what is that property?
It's a neighbor's property, I think.
Well, it's called Lot A of the association property. And it is the adjoining property to the east of this parcel we're discussing.
And what is it? What is it used for?
It is used for nothing because it's steep, like the our part is below the road. However, on one small corner of it is the well house, which is a Class B state well for the 16 lots. But that's the only thing that's on that. The hillside's so steep, we don't even touch it.
Okay, the building that you show the picture of on there, what is that used for?
It's not. That's not your building, is it? The one that you sent us a picture of?
I can't hear you.
I said the one you sent us the picture of, this Murph and Steel Barn Workshop, that's not the building that you...
No. The one they sent you a picture of is one to show the value, how far off he is on a tin building. But the one I sent you the picture of is an advertisement that building can be built right now today for $23,369 on our property. And it's approximately the same square footage. That's this picture right here.
Okay.
That is just to show you that the building that he is assessing on our property, it's a tin building. But because I had material left over from another project, put some logs on it and that sort of thing. I didn't want it to look like a tin building out there in that area. So I put that on to dress it up. And so it's only lipstick on the pig is what I'm saying. That's all it is.
The building I'm referring to is the one that's on their property information sheet.
Okay. That building is a building that is used for maintenance and repair. Now, let me go back a little bit, because when I went in to get this, I also own timberlands in eastern Washington. And when I went in to get this, I told them I wanted to build this building. They're the ones that I was going to build a pole building. And they're the ones that told me, oh, you can build this outbuilding and you don't even need a permit and all this sort of stuff. And they said, what are you going to do with it? I said, well, we got equipment we use for maintenance on the buildings here, or I mean the property here that we use in there. I also store some equipment off of my timberland property in there, because outbuildings can be used for timberlands, not necessarily on the property, but for timberlands. I do maintenance in there. And they said, oh yeah, fine, that's fine. You do maintenance, everything. So you can build this outbuilding, and that is the outbuilding that I constructed. And if you notice, by that picture, the building doesn't sit, you'd think those two overhead doors would be in line with the drive entrance so you can get in and out easily. But I couldn't build it that way because the outbuilding had to be maintained 50 feet from a property line. So I had to swing that building in order to keep it away from the property line. So if I was building a standard building that he's assessing it as, I sure in the world wouldn't have built it at that weird angle.
Patrick, how old is that advertisement for the steel barn building?
I took that off of the internet just at the time that we started this case.
Okay.
So it's like 3 months ago.
Okay, 24,000 seems pretty low for a steel building, but I can see their advertisement.
It says starting at, but that's where it is. Now, that doesn't include concrete. I'll be honest with you on that.
Yeah, right.
You got to add another 10,000 or 8,000 for the concrete. So okay. It brings it up to 30, but it's a whole lot closer than, especially now out of a clear blue at $80,000. Now, do you have a picture of the $12,000 woodshed?
Not unless you gave it to us.
No, well, doesn't he's the one that supplied this picture. Why doesn't he supply a picture of the woodshed?
I don't know.
Can you all see the screen? I'm guessing it's this building is all I... He didn't give it to us, but this is what is available on the Property Information Center. So I think it's...
If we would have known that he was even assessing that building at all, I would have made sure you had a picture, because that woodshed, and here's what the folks have told me. If that woodshed is going to be maintained at $12,000-some-odd, and it's only used to store firewood, and it leaks so bad we have to put a tarp over the wood anyway, this winter comes, we'll pull the wood out, put a tarp over the wood anyway, and torch that building, because there's no sense paying tax on something that dilapidated. It's a disgrace to have that on the tax roll.
What do you use this property for?
What do we use it for?
Yes.
Well, first place, we can't use most of it because of the swamp.
Right.
So the brush and the trees are overgrowing that. The trees that are still alive. If you were to walk that property, you would see over the time span that the county has increased this flow of water on us. These 100 and 150-year-old trees in the center are all now dead. The ones around the perimeter of that are dying. You can see the dead parts of these big firs and cottonwoods and everything up there 100 feet dying off.
But
so
what you,
that part is totally unusable. It's a swamp. We can't get into it.
But what do you use the building for? What do you just to store equipment for maintenance? Is that what you use the building for?
The building, now, behind the building, we have a gardens. There's some grape grown back there. There's some blueberries. The one neighbor, the Swansons, uses some of it for growing flowers. They have to own a florist shop in Vancouver, have for 60, 70 years. And they grow some of the flowering, peonies and all such stuff.
So Patrick, can you hear me?
What's that?
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay. What do you use the building for? What do you put in the building?
Oh, well, the building right now has a workshop in the one end that is kind of got, sheetrock and plywooded off, and where there's a wood stove in there, so that in the winter we can go in and do maintenance on this tractor, other equipment that I have that I bring over from Klickitat to work on in the wintertime in here. It's also used for storage right now of a trailer that is used for workmen on the site, okay? And it's a, when I say site, on the timberland, because we have to go in and do limbing and bowing and all this other stuff. Anyway, that at that time, and just chainsaws, name it, it's all in it.
Okay. I don't have any more questions. I think I have enough to make a decision.
I got it. Okay.
So what does okay mean? Does that mean we're going to, I'll hear from you?
Yeah, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. All right. I hope that, if you guys need to come look at this, I'd love to have you. That'd be the best way to solve this whole rigmarole mess. But anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
And I hope I'm not going to live long enough to come back and bother you again, boys. I'm hitting 85, and The Swanson guy happened to, his cane went sideways on him and he fell on his face and broke his nose the other day. So I don't think he'll be in to bother you guys again either. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 600 for property ID 194125000. The property is owned by Christina Thompson. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Christina here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you can raise your right hand to be sworn in.
I am. Okay, yes.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing to be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days for that. From that point to appeal to the state, the assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. So do I just tell them what I, do I start talking or never done this before? Sorry.
Whatever you want to tell us.
Okay, so I saw that the property tax doubled from the year before to this tax year. And it actually, it is exactly double the amount. And so I'm assuming they're valuing the property double of what they did the year before. And I just feel like the property's assessed value is just higher than its true value of what the home is. It is an old, you know, manufactured home that we got for $36,000, you know, in 2011. And really there hasn't been any improvements made to the property besides mowing the lawn and cleaning up the yard. The home's in the same condition as it is. And I believe that because maybe that it went up because we did do some submitting on lot lines, but but pretty much the property itself, most of the property is an easement for people to get in and out of the driveway to get to their homes behind us. And so really it's like mostly a driveway. So I don't think that the value is what it's assessed at. It just looks like it's a bigger property, but it's the land itself is primarily a driveway for all the homes to drive through to get to theirs in the back of us. Because we're the first one on the street. And so more of it's an easement and a parking lot than anything. And so I don't know if that helps, but I really don't have like any other homes because there's nothing for sale or sold up like that, how that property sits, you know, that I found to give an example. But I think it's assessed at $200,000, and I would say it would be more like what it was last year, $100,000. So that's pretty much all I have to say. I hope that makes sense on what I said about how the property sits. And it's, you know, it says it's like 12,000 square foot lot, but, you know, 0.28, but you know, I would really say, you know, we probably use 6,000 square foot of it is what we have the home, you know, with the home and what we can landscape.
Can you pull up the map of that, Allison?
Mm-hmm. You guys are pulling it up. Thank you. Like when you first drive into that it's like a dirt driveway. It is a dirt driveway. Then people have to go through that driveway. They consider that part of our land, but it's really, everyone has to go through that to get to their property.
How did you derive your numbers?
Which numbers? What you guys assessed it at, or what I assessed it at, or the lot is?
What you put on it, is that the same as last year?
Yeah, what was the value of that? I'd be interested to know that, too.
It was half. It was half of what it is this year. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sitting in my car. I'm sorry. I had to get away from work, so I'm in my car
doing this. It was 462 last year.
That's the number she used, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty close to that, yeah.
Yes, and then I think this year it just doubled that. It's whatever the double of that is.
1755, I guess.
Yeah, so 180. I think you guys had it at 185 or something. I can't remember
It's 175,505.
Oh, okay.
That's what the county has it at. We don't set the value.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the county. The bill used to be a certain amount, and then I just remembered now it's like double what it was the year before. So
it's going up again for 25. It's going to be 200,918.
Oh my goodness. And so I don't know is it just because prices are just going up? Because I don't understand why we haven't really made any improvement. It's just like the same exact home as, not like we remodeled it or.
Is it a single or double wide or?
It's a long, it's a double wide manufactured home.
Okay.
It is a double wide, it's the original state of when we got it. We did paint it, but I don't think painting adds value, but maybe on the outside just to clean it up. And then we cleaned up the yard. So the yard's clean, but that's all we've done since we've owned it. I put my parents into the home because they're on Social Security, so they live in the home. And I'm just trying to keep my costs down. They only get, $800 each on Social Security. So I just try to keep my property tax down as low as I can. I just felt like it just jumped double. That was just really surprised to see that.
Christina, could you not find any comparable sales for your appeal? I see your form is pretty much blank on comparable.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything for sale that was similar to that, like on besides like mobile homes in a park, because that's on its own land. But I would say that the land, I think they're factoring that the land is double the size that it is. So it's saying like, I think 12,000 square foot lot. And I would say it's half of that, like 6,200 square foot lot that we actually use, not 12,000 is what I would say. So maybe that could help bring the property value down because we don't get to use all the property.
But you own that additional property, you own the entire property, don't you, the 12,000 square feet?
We do own it all, but it's used. That when they add it all, it's not all able to be, because there's a lot of it is an easement for people to drive through when you come in. They're counting it that as ours, and everyone has to drive through that. We can't just block it off and fence it off, So I was hoping that that would be the most, the biggest argument is that, we do own it, but it's not like but we use it too, as we have to use it too to get to our driveway. And then, right. But everyone else uses the same land. So I don't know if that argument is strong enough, but I'm hoping that, it is.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
Okay. I don't either. That's all I really had. I didn't have any comps to add, so.
Got it. Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, I appreciate everyone's time, and have a great day, everyone. Thank you so much.
You too, thanks. Okay.
Thank you, bye-bye.
This is the July 16th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 597 for property ID 17893100. The property is owned by Thomas and Lisa Zeiner. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Thomas here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
No, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead and tell us what you want to.
Well, I've lived here for more than 25 years, and I never had reason to question the value on that particular parcel because I was under the impression that it was a legal lot, because all of the lots around me are less than five, let's just say. And they're all legal building lots, so I assumed incorrectly. And then this last year, I started the process of permitting, and then I hired an attorney to kind of wade through all of the different easements and whatnot that had been granted over the years. And he came back with it was not a legal lot. And so then I in turn questioned, okay, I can't really sell this. It's a landlocked piece of 4 acres. There's no access to it. I can't build on it. And looking at what my tax value are, I'm basically being taxed at the value of land that would be buildable and sellable. And I have started the process of legal lot determination, but I've been told, and unfortunately these emails came in too late to be submitted as evidence, but I was told by the person handling my application that it was not going to fly. So I have both an attorney in Clark County itself telling me that I only have like one possible route, I think, left to get a legal lot determination. But at this point in time, it's no. And again, so I'm sitting here looking at this property, and I know that there's a 3-acre piece immediately to my north that sold about 5 years ago at, forgive me for not having exact details, but I know it was just around $200,000, and it was a fully buildable lot. And I'm just looking at the property values around me and stuff. And again, I just feel that this valuation is based on, you know, I could put a for sale sign on there and offer this lot to the general public and say, yeah, I want to sell this lot for $250,000, but that's not going to happen because there's no way to get to it. And according to the Clark County, it is not a buildable piece of property currently.
And this is not a new valuation for this property. It looks like it was valued at that roughly $250,000 last year.
Yeah. Again, like I said before, I was under the impression that it was a legal buildable lot, so I had no reason to question past valuations. Assuming that it was a legal lot, now finding out that it's not.
And do you know the specifics on that piece of property that you said sold? That's a legal lot, buildable lot?
Lot number passed.
Do you have the lot legal lot number?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That's the only one that's not on there. 20410.
Dan, are you looking for the property account number?
Yeah,
I've got multiple diagrams of the property around here. Some of them have account numbers, some of them don't. This one looks
My record shows 17893100.
Can you look that up, Allison?
Yeah, do you want to look at the map? Sorry, I've got the map pulled up. Do you want to look at a specific view of it? This is the subject property.
Right.
I'm looking for the one that sold.
Just go. That's the subject property, the 3 acres there. And then if you go up there, that property right there.
Is it this one with the house?
Yes. Yeah.
When did it sell?
Well, it's been like 5 years since they built the house and everything since it sold, but
looks like in 2016 for $195 there was a sale.
You're right. Sounds about right.
And that's how many, is that the same size as yours?
No, it's smaller by about just under an acre smaller.
Yours is or his is?
His is. His is only 3.29, mine's 4. So.
Okay.
Yeah, 4.
But again, you know, well, not to my ignorance, but, you know, I knew that that was a legal building, Ron. I'd spoke to the owner about buying it myself. And again, you know, 3 acres buildable. You know, I assumed my 4 acres was buildable. So again, I never questioned the valuation of these things. But there's a 3 acre piece that actually sold next door.
When did it sell?
It's what sellable.
2016.
Oh. Quite a while ago. And again, what makes it not buildable? No access to it?
It has no, go back to the picture there. It has no access currently. And it's not considered a buildable lot.
I see, on the previous picture, I saw a driveway along the lower left corner of the property. Is that driveway not accessible to your property?
No, it's not.
Okay.
You know, I don't get too bogged down here, but that 1 acre piece was cut out many, many years ago because I think they built their house before they figured out where their property lines were. And somewhere way back when they granted that 1 acre off to that house, so a 10-acre piece became a 9-acre piece, and then eventually they split it in half and did a 5 and a 4, and I thought that 4 was back in the time where that would have been recognized as legal, but it wasn't.
What is the property currently being used for?
Woods, wildlife.
Well, it looks like it's got a trail all the way around those. Can you bring that picture back up?
Yep.
Looks like it's got trails all around the clearings and looks like it's got trails in from that other property.
No, I take my tractor out there and I mow trails that I can take and walk my dogs on. When I first brought this property 30 years ago, I had livestock. I had both cattle and horses and stuff. And so, you know, I wasn't interested in separate lots, let's just say. And so I used it over the years, but then as I got out of the livestock and got rid of my horses and whatnot, I just kind of let it become more, actually planted it quite a bit to become more nature friendly. And then I just, the only use I have for it right now is I take my tractor out there and I mow a path so I can walk my dogs.
So, so you have access through some other person's property then?
Through mine only.
Which one's yours?
This, there's a 3 acre piece that right there is two of the 3 acres is mine right there. That's the house, 1 acre. And then the piece in front of it is the 3 acre or 2 acre piece. So mine was a legal lot of 3 acres when all of this was split up. And
so you could theoretically grant access to your property through an easement on your property, right?
Correct. Correct. Which is what I contacted the lawyer when I was going to build up there is exactly for that, is that's the only real route to get to my property would be to go across the east section there and drop a driveway across the top of that 2 acre piece that's highlighted currently and come in that direction there. And but if it's not a buildable lot, then that's a moot point. But
what makes it a non-buildable lot then? Just access?
This is my understanding. If it was done back in like 1965 or something, when it was split from a 10-acre piece to two, it would have been a buildable lot. But since it was done in, I believe, 1984, that was past the time frame where it had to be 5 acres. So when they split that 10 in half, they didn't split it literally in half. They took 5 in the front and put 4 in the back. That was done in 1984, and that was past the grandfathering legal lot time. So it was just a 4 acre piece, which was completely marooned by that, except for through this property. And now by today's standards, that's not considered a buildable lot. And like I said, I'm in the process of requesting, legal lot determination, but I've been told straight up, I have emails that it's not a legal lot under the eyes of Clark County. I have done it under the, what they call legal or purchaser unaware kind of a thing. And they came back and said, again, even if you did it, it's not 5 acres. So it's not. So I think I have, once my appeal for legal lot review is denied, I have one last shot, which is basically is at the discretion of Clark County, whether they will let me build on there or not. But I have to get denied legal lot determination before I can even apply for the mercy of Clark County, so to speak, for legal lot determination.
Well, Thomas, if the lot that's highlighted right now, you own that.
Correct.
Could you not combine 1 acre off of that into your 4 acre parcel just below it? Make it a buildable 5 acres.
That's up to your community development group, their land management. If I give an acre off the front of my 2 acre piece, which I would gladly do to make that a 5 acre buildable piece, I don't know if Clark County would let me then consider my residual 2 acres there with the house and an acre in front to be a legal lot. So it becomes I would be more than willing to do that. But at the same time, now the lot that my house currently sits on, does that become an illegal lot or, you know?
Well, how big is your, currently where your house is?
3 acres. It's on 3 separate parcels, which is really confusing. The house sits on a 1 acre piece. I have a 2 acre parcel in front of my property, and then it has an easement for the driveway. So there's 3 separate tax lots that make up where I currently live, and then the 4th tax lot is this 4 acre piece.
So your 3 lots are a total of 10 acres combined?
No, 7 acres. Well, 7 acres combined.
7 acres combined. Okay. And it's all zoned R5. Is that R4? Is that no R5? R5. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so you couldn't get 2 5-acre parcels by combining. Okay, I think I got it.
I think I have it too.
Yep, no further questions from me.
Got it. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Thomas.
You bet.